Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, 15th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, without words, we would be forever lost. It's words that brought creation into being. It's words that condemned sin and the works of the devil. And it's words that restored Adam and his descendants through the promised Messiah. Without words, especially God's words, we would be forever lost. Forever hiding in the bushes. Forever captivated and held captive by our sins. So it is with words that the God who made the heavens, the earth, and all therein gives to us new life. Words give us life because God's word gives us God's life. The light of his Son, who comes to us and carries us along. The Word who was in the beginning with God has become flesh and dwelt among us. It's God's Word in the Jordan, sanctifying the waters of baptism as a lavish flood that washes away sin. It's God's Word in the wilderness, casting Satan away. It's God's Word that heals the sick, enlightens eyes, opens ears, loosens tongues, and even raises the dead. God's grace comes to us through his words. And without his words, we would be lost forever. But humanity is not content with words. Words are common, ordinary, uneventful. We expect more from God than just words. We grumble and complain because we don't want to pay attention to God's words. We want God to pay attention to our words. Scribes and Pharisees in our text were grumbling and complaining about Jesus because sinners and tax collectors were drawing near to Jesus to hear him, to listen to his words. Jesus was sharing his words with those who didn't deserve them. Worse than that, he was eating with them. He was sharing his grace with them, his presence with them, his words with them, when Jesus should have been sharing in the grace, presence, and words of the scribes and Pharisees. Rather than those people paying attention to Jesus, Jesus should have been paying attention to the scribes and Pharisees, the better people, the good people, the righteous people, the people who deserved his attention. The hearts of these scribes and Pharisees were in the wrong place. They were grumbling and complaining about God's grace. And so, what does Jesus do? He does the same for them as he was doing for the sinners and tax collectors. He gives them words. Particular a parable. Two parables, in fact. Well, really, Luke 15 has three parables, but we'll just focus on the first two. What's Jesus doing with these parables? He's using words to carry the hearts of the scribes and Pharisees and even you and me to the right place. To the place where we hear with open ears, receive eternal life. The first parable is about a shepherd of sheep. Sheep are dumb. Because Scripture likens God's children to sheep, we immediately get a perfect picture of our own fallen, sinful nature. Sheep love to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. Our own way is not the way of the shepherd. The way of the shepherd is good, right, salutary, because the shepherd himself is good, right, and salutary. The shepherd is Jesus. And because the shepherd is Jesus, his way leads to eternal life. Our own way is none of this. Our own way leads away from Jesus. It leads to death. And we who are dumb sheep tend to think that we're smarter than that. We listen to other voices. We're convinced by the wolves that it's better to be apart from the 99. So we wander. Sheep love to wander. Sinners are given to sin. So we leave the 99. More importantly, we leave the shepherd and we go out on our own. We do what we think. We love what we feel. We go here, we go there, assuming that there's no dangers out there. The more we wander, the more sin takes control. Fear seizes the heart. And we scatter, we tremble, if not on the outside, well then certainly on the inside. We doubt everything, every turn here, every journey there, every every person we encounter, we can't find our way back. All of our seeking turns out to really just be more wandering. The parable isn't so much about a sheep as it is about the shepherd. Jesus seeks after the lost, and his seeking uses words. Without his words, we wouldn't know who was calling us. Without his word, we wouldn't cease our striving. So he calls. He speaks. Echoing the words from the garden, he beckons, "Where are you? What have you done?" Law thunders in our ears and freezes us in our path. Like a thunderbolt to the heart, we stop dead in our tracks, huddle up in a corner, and we wait. God's law catches us in our sin. And it's then and only then, beloved, that we cease our striving and know that he is God and we are not. He is the seeker. We are the sought ones. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. This parable is all about the shepherd, the one who leaves the safety of the sheepfold and enters the wilderness of our world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, surrounded by the wild beasts of this world, and with the joy of our salvation set before him. Jesus despises the shame and he endures the dangers. He takes on the devil and he defeats him with words. He takes on the demons and he defeats them with words. And finding his beloved, you and me, sinners and tax collectors, the sick, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, and the dead, he assumes our wounds, carries our burdens, bears our sins, and also suffers our death. By his dying, he carries us through death, covering us with his death. And by his rising on the third day, he rescues us from the clutches of the grave. Wandering sheep need to be found. Wounded sheep need to be healed. Frightened lambs need to be comforted. Sinners need to be forgiven. We need to be carried. So carry us, he does. To the font we go, where the water and the word washes away sin, binds up wounds, and renews us with the shepherd's own life. The lost are found in the water, and the sheep are comforted with his word. The one is brought back to the 99, and the angels in heaven rejoice while the Savior feasts with his redeemed, with all those who have been restored to the flock. And this brings us to the second parable. The Savior's not done speaking. Words continue to carry us along, and having brought us back to the flock, we now find ourselves in a house, God's house, even this house. The restored aren't left to themselves, where they're given to wander again. Salvation is certainly personal. The Good Shepherd has found you, but it's also communal. He's restored you to a community, a communion, where together as his church, the bride for whom he died and rose again, is now given to find heavenly treasures. Like a woman seeking after a lost coin goes about the house with lamp in hand, so we Christians, guided by the word, find Christ. For that lamp is God's word, for the word is like a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. It's not a coin we seek, no earthly treasure we desire, no worldly wisdom to preserve us from sin's demise, but Jesus himself. He is the coin in this parable, not us. He is the treasure we find in this house. And so the word leads us to the water. The word leads us to the pulpit. The word leads us to absolution. The word leads us to the rail. Where we are led, there we find Jesus, the Savior who delights in being found. Through these things, Jesus baptizes, Jesus forgives, Jesus preaches, and Jesus communes. And so it is the word that carries us from the wilderness of this world, and we find that through this word, Jesus has placed himself, has placed us on himself, on his shoulders, and married himself to us. He is our God, and we are his dearly loved children. He's our bridegroom, and we are his beloved bride. Beloved in the Lord, where are you? What have you done? These words, once spoken in the garden, echo through time, and they call the nations to repentance. This morning, his word has reached our ears. It's his most fervent desire to reach our hearts also. Do not grumble and complain that the Savior leaves the 99 to seek the lost. Don't grumble and complain that through these words, sinners and tax collectors are found. But rejoice! joining the heavenly hosts and all the redeemed and singing praise to our God who delights in saving sinners like us. Listen, God is calling. Listen, the Lord is here in your midst to deliver you from the perils of this world, the devil, all the wild beasts of your sins. He's prepared a feast for you whom he loves. And in this bread is his very body, in this cup is his very blood. And we know this because we have his word. We are here this morning because of his word. And without his word, beloved, we would be forever lost. But God, in his rich grace and mercy, calls you by his word, redeems you by his word, forgives you through his word, and promises that on the last day he will raise you and all the dead by the power of his word. Our whole life together is founded on and flows from his word. Believe it. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.